Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who were trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over the 3 points that John is making in these 10 verses. Number one, realizing the danger. Number two, the ability and the power that is given to us so that we may realize the danger. And number three, the way to fight against the danger. Now, in the last broadcast, we began to look at the second point, our ability and power as believers to realize the danger that confronts us. And I want to continue in that today. So let's look at verses 20, 21, and 27 again together. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in him. Now, what John is telling us here is that because believers are filled with God's Spirit, that this Spirit acts as an anointing, which abides within each soul, and this anointing causes us to know truth. And with the knowledge of truth, there is the ability to ward off error and false teaching. So John is teaching us here that it is the Spirit and the truth that the Spirit agrees with, which gives us the ability to see the heresy of the Antichrist and to fight against it. Now look closely again at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Now, John is not saying that every believer knows everything that there is to know about every subject on the earth. John is simply teaching here that because the Spirit, the anointing as he calls the Spirit here, because the Spirit lives and dwells inside of us, that same Spirit will draw us toward the truth rather than error. Now, genuine believers know truth for several reasons. First of all, John says that truth and light are synonymous. Light in Scripture represents understanding truth. All throughout John's writings, John speaks about light and truth. John mentions the word light 37 times in his writings, and he mentions the word truth 47 times. So to John, both light and truth were very important. This brings up one of the most important characteristics, and functions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, loves truth. He hates error, lies, and deceit. The Holy Spirit brings the believer to all truth. Never, never, never does he lead that person into error. The only reason that a believer ever goes into error is because he either ignores the Holy Spirit or he misunderstands what the Holy Spirit says. And this is crucial, because there is only one cure for ignoring what God's Spirit says, and that one cure is to repent and obey. But there is also only one cure for misunderstanding what the Spirit is saying, and that one cure is to become more familiar with the language of the Spirit. Now, what do I mean when I say the language of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit only speaks one language, and if you're going to understand correctly what the Spirit is saying, you must understand that language. And turn with me to John chapter 14, and let's read verses 16, 17, and 26 together. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now notice what John says here. John says that first of all, that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Now when John uses the word helper or comforter in verses 16 and 26, he's using the word to describe a function or a ministry of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity comes to comfort or help those who have been saved. Well, that's good, but help us to do what? Read again what John said about how the Holy Spirit comforts or helps us in verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Holy Spirit does not come to us so that we can feel good physically, or so that we can have an emotional high or a psychological lift, or so that we can feel goosebumps on our arms or have the hair on the back of our neck stand up. God the Holy Spirit does not come inside the believer so the believer can fall on the floor or behave in a weird and goofy way. That will not and cannot bring comfort or hope to the believer. Now, I realize that many of those who partake in these activities are sincere, and they're well-meaning people. Some of them are saved and would give their lives for Jesus, so I'm not criticizing them. But no matter how many people engage in these things, it is still true that the Bible does not teach that these things are functions of the Comforter. The Holy Spirit comforts believers by leading them into all truth, and by teaching us all things, and by bringing all things that Jesus has said to our remembrance. This is why in verse 17, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. It was precisely because the apostles were filled with this Spirit that enabled them to do what they did. Peter said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 16, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. Peter says here that when the 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room on that day, approximately 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven during the middle of the first century, that one single event was the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. But many people in the modern church believe that any time God moves among them, that it is the fulfillment of Joel 2, but that's not what Peter said. Joel 2 was fulfilled precisely because Christianity, which is the full, final, and completed revelation of God to man, was established in the earth. Then in Peter's sermon on that day, Peter began to articulate and correctly interpret what David and Isaiah prophesied about hundreds of years before that day. It was the Spirit within Peter, whom Peter had received on that day, which led Peter into fully comprehending what David and Isaiah meant when they gave their prophecies hundreds of years earlier that had been written down in Old Testament scripture. What Peter was doing then was fulfilling what Jesus had promised would happen when the Helper came. Now listen very carefully. We have to remember, beloved, that Peter, James, John, Paul were not just believers. They were specially chosen men called to do a special thing for a special time for a very specific reason. These men were apostles who were given the commission and the tools and the gifts and the power to establish Christianity in the earth. Nobody before these men and nobody after these men have the same charge as those men did, and therefore nobody after them have the same tools or gifts or calling or miracles or signs or wonders or abilities. We don't need to establish Christianity today. We need to be faithful to the Christianity that has already been established by those men. Part of the establishing of Christianity in the earth back then was the power of the Spirit in Peter and the other apostles to correctly and rightly and fully explain and interpret what the Old Testament scriptures meant by what they said and what they were about. So God endued these apostles with the Holy Spirit so that through the Spirit of Christ within them, they could pin down those inspired, inerrant, infallible words which defined Christianity and which fully explained what God had revealed in the Old Testament. And it was with these words that were God-breathed, these words that were inspired, these words of Scripture found in the 21 New Testament epistles that John, Peter, Paul, and the others wrote down, which confronted the Antichrists and exposed them, and which proved their error, and which uplifted truth. Once that was done, once Christianity was established in the earth, once the final revelation of God was given and written down in the New Testament scriptures, once the full explanation of all the Old Testament was given to the church by the apostles, the need for anyone else to do what these men did vanished away. God the Holy Spirit came to these men to give them the completed revelation of God so that it would be written down, so that Christianity would be established. But now the Holy Spirit fills us, not to do what these men did, but so that we may fully understand what these men did, and so that we may fully comprehend what these men taught, and so that we may defend the gospel against the Antichrists. We have no need to establish divine truth in our day, because divine truth has already been established and completed, finalized and formalized, and it has been written down for us. That is what the apostles needed the Holy Spirit to do for them. But since that was successfully done, it doesn't need to be repeated. What we do today, what we need the power of the Spirit to do in us and through us, is to give us the tools and the gifts and the anointing so that we may study this already revealed revelation, and we need to help. It will help us to learn it. We need help to understand it. We need power to believe it. We need an anointing to teach, preach, and defend it. We need the ability to love it and obey it. And that is what we need the power of the Spirit to do for us in our day. We do not need to get new revelation. We do not have any need for any other revelation. The revelation that we already have, that has already been written down, that has already been confirmed with signs, wonders, miracles, and various gifts of the Holy Spirit, has been proven to be of God. Therefore, what we need to do today is not to create Christianity or establish Christianity as the apostles did. We need to propagate Christianity throughout the world. That is what we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do in us today. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.